Carcast and Edmonds podcast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndre, here with Alistair Weaver. So you're in the offices today over at Edmonds.
I am. Fancy backdrop, fancy studio we installed. We'll have to get you down here, Matt, one day. We can be filmed. We can do our hair. We can look great.
It's like a Vegas nightclub in there. Look at it. It's all fancy and purple.
It is. You sort of sit here. I turn the lights down. We're normally like in the best newscaster tradition. You sit here like being beamed with light, but I turned them down this occasion, so it does. Yeah, just needed a gin and tonic, and away we go.
So we were kind of talking about what's going on in the car world right now, and we're just kind of gearing up for a bunch of new launches to come out throughout the year. There's not a whole lot of things that are being debuted at this moment, but there's a pretty full docket of new vehicles coming out. I thought maybe we can run through some of those things to see what we're looking forward to, especially if people are starting to consider a new car. You know, do they wait, or do you get something that's currently out there on the lot now? Maybe there's a little bit better deal now versus, you know, when the new car is out. But is it worth it or not?
Yeah, I mean, we are insanely busy at the moment. We have like 40 people in the team, and we have people all over the place. I think we've got like 4 trips to Europe this month for, you know, various different vehicles. We've got 2 trips to put, you know, Europe with Porsche in March, sort of April. It just sort of goes on. And it's just, you know, an incredibly busy period of, you know, a lot of it is gas still, but also EVs. And of course that market's a bit up in the air at the moment. So, I mean, we just had somebody out in Germany with the new Mini Countryman, which is huge, by the way. Not really very many at all. Somebody driving the new Ram today, and you know, all this stuff's going to be flowing out on the site. So, yeah, busy time. Where do you want to start? Should we start at A?
Let's just kind of run through it alphabetically. I think that's the easiest way. We got a couple of notes here in front of me, so I don't, you know, screw this up too much. But yeah, I'm sure we're going to forget a few things because things keep coming out from you know. Like you were saying, invitations to events keep coming out quickly. So this isn't going to be an all-inclusive list. But yeah, let's start at Acura. What's going on with Acura? I mean, I was in Monterey and I saw them debut the ZDX and looking forward to that. But that's on the same platform as the Cadillac, which seems to be having some issues. So
yeah, well, our Chevy Blazer, if you're a regular listener to the show, our Chevy Blazer is actually downstairs. It's working okay at the moment. It's got to go and be back to the dealer and be, you know, have another firmware update. It's kind of interesting, like some of it's over the air, and then for certain things they physically need the vehicle. So yeah, obviously there's a Honda Prologue, which is the Honda version, then the Acura version, which is the ZDX, and both of which are based on GM's Ultium technology, which underpins the Chevy, underpins the Cadillac, underpins a bunch of other stuff as well, and has proved hugely problematic. So interesting times, but ZDX looks like a nice thing. They get it all working. Looks like a nice thing.
You know, when I talked to them about it, I talked to the designers about it. They were saying that, you know, obviously they're a little biased and they like their version more than the Cadillac version. But they were saying that they made much better use of this space. They just think it's an overall roomier, more comfortable vehicle to be in, especially compared to the ones on the same platform. So.
Yeah, they're big. I mean, the Blazer EV is a big vehicle. It's bigger than something like a Mustang Mach-E.
Yeah.
But then so it should be given the price. It ain't cheap.
It's not cheap, for sure. Okay, Audi. What's going on there?
Audi, we have... Audi's just signed a new designer today, actually. Quite interesting. So this is a bit inside baseball, but I thought it was interesting. The a guy called Massimo, who I used to work with at Land Rover, and I'm desperately trying to remember his surname. Maybe I'll look it up in a moment while you're speaking. But he came, he's a guy who worked under Jerry McGovern, Land Rover's design director, has now been given the Audi gig, which is obviously like a pretty prestige job.
Yeah.
So he is working, he was kind of like number 2 at Land Rover. Now he's going to be working on all the Audis. So yeah, big change there. So I guess obviously there's people looking at Land Rover design, think they've done a good job. Yeah, interesting. Interesting change there. I mean, coming up for Audi,
It's an
sorry.
interesting change, but someone like that's going to step into that job and you won't really be able to see anything he does on public streets for about 7 years, maybe five on the low end, because the lineup is already pretty much being developed. So it's tough to kind of get into that. We saw that with Lincoln as well. And I sat down with the designer of Lincoln and he's like, yeah, we're working on this and this and this. And I go, great, we're going to see that next year. He's like, no, probably like 5 or 6 years, because they've already got their vehicles, planned for what's happening. So, yeah, the e-tron.
Massimo Frascella, Frascella, really nice guy. I used to, back in my old life in the UK, I worked with him and Jeremy Gibbon on a couple of projects. So super excited about him. But you're right. Yeah, I remember doing a story once on the designers that never launched their own car. And these people who kind of would go in and then like move on 2 or 3 years later.
Yeah.
And there was periods of times where you'd arrive, launch somebody else's car, which presumably you didn't like. And then your car would get into development, and then you'd get poached, or you'd move on, or you'd get fired. And then your car would eventually come out, launched by somebody else who didn't really like it. And though you could like chart the pattern. I remember like Ian Callum, left Aston Martin, and then
Yeah.
Henrik Fisker took over, and suddenly it was like, well, is this a Fisker car, a Callum car? And then Callum went to Jaguar, and they were still doing that retro design. He could barely, I mean, Ian's a lovely guy, but he could barely disguise his lack of enthusiasm. So it's
Yeah.
a really hard job.
And
Here's something that I,
that was
yeah.
around when the Aston Martins and the Jags kind of looked similar. There's a lot
Yeah.
of, you can see his influence there.
Done by the same guy. Yeah. But it was, yeah, it's always funny. You can kind of like read between the lines. I think BMW is having a bit of that at the moment, that you kind of get the feeling that certain in the design team don't actually like a lot of the stuff. But yeah, Audi have the Q6 e-tron. Audi's EVs have been a bit, well, Q4 e-tron, they were struggling for supply. The bigger ones done okay. None of them really caught the world, caught the world on fire. That's the right thing to say about certain EVs at the moment. But they are, that's a, it's a good looking thing. So
Yeah.
we will, yeah, we will
So
see.
that, I mean, like the GT and stuff never really caught on with as much fanfare as Taycan did, but maybe the revisions to Taycan will bleed over to Audi's platforms as well. We'll get sort of a better vehicle from both of those
I'm sure they
nameplates.
will. I mean, the GT is based on the Taycan, or the Taycan platform. Doesn't have the Porsche badge. I mean, I think it's quite a cool looking thing, but I hear there's some good deals. If you really want an Audi e-tron GT, there's some good deals going.
Yeah.
Watch out for that one. I got BMW next, Matt. It's
Yep.
5 Series. 5 Series is out, as is the i5.
Which we saw a
i5 is
Super
a.
Bowl commercial for with Christopher Walken.
I didn't see that. Is that right? I missed
Yeah,
that.
it was they were kind of making fun of everybody doing a Christopher Walken voice with Christopher Walken in the commercial, and it was the whole, no imitations, the original is the best, and it's kind of the 5 Series going, this is the best, and of course the i5 is what they used as well. But yeah, it was a good use of Christopher Walken. It was kind of fun.
Well, the i5 is, of course, Edmunds' top-rated EV car for the year. So that's a thing we're a big fan of. We're about to get one for the long-term test fleet, which is great. In fact, we're getting the M60, which is seriously rapid. And I'm driving around in the i7 at the moment, which is
The big
the
sedan,
bigger
yeah.
one. And that's yeah, that's a lovely thing. But the one I'm in is close on 200 grand, which is hard to
Wow.
justify on any level.
Yeah, it's
I'm
it.
actually I'm driving into Vegas tomorrow, and of course then I'm in the world of, oh, will it make it to Vegas? No, not quite.
Not
So we're gonna
quite.
have to charge it. And then my wife's going, are we taking an EV? Right. We're not gonna have trouble, are we? Like, no, it's gonna be fine. We're gonna find a Walmart. It's gonna be fine.
Gonna be fine. Although
So next week I can tell you about my experience.
the
It's
trip to Monterey in the
amazing.
Rivian was not fine.
Seriously, the psychological impact of that trip on my family, just because everybody found it such a traumatic experience to be like, okay, first world experience, try, to be out there 11 o'clock at night, struggling to charge, the anxiety kicking in. So we're going to find out
Yeah.
how my trip to Vegas goes. But yeah, i5 is coming, 5 Series i5, pretty much the same car. And BMW is doing this strategy like they are with the 7 Series, is we'll make you a car and you can pick your engine or pick your motor or pick your hybrid. So yeah,
Honestly,
it's
I think it's going to be a wonderful drive in an i7 to Vegas. I think it's going to be wonderful. If there's no flaws in the charging process, I think the car is going to be fine. But if you can find a place to charge and it gets it done quickly, which I think you'll be able to do, during the week without a holiday weekend really happening, I think, oh, I guess it is kind of a holiday weekend.
It is a holiday weekend, yeah. But
Yeah.
it's a beautiful car, and it's yeah, it's a lovely way to travel.
Yeah.
And
I'm
then yeah,
curious
there's
to see how
two
that will
series.
go.
And then yeah, so that's BMW. There's two series as well, but I mean, 5 Series is, five series is a. I mean, it's not as big a deal as it used to be, right? Because everything's X5 now. Everybody wants an SUV. But also, this 5 Series sets the tone for what the next X5 will be as well. And it's a pretty, it's start of a newer design language. And it's quite a pretty BMW, which I haven't said that for a while.
Yeah, I agree with that. And with them sort of missing the mark design style on a few things. And I know you guys have spoke highly about the electric SUV once you get in it, but once you're out of the vehicle and have to stare at it, the exterior version.
It's all about, you just need to choose it. I saw a black one the other day and I thought, actually, that's okay, because he just detunes a lot of
You really got to hide
the
the
excess.
lines of it.
Yeah, I mean, the iX is a fantastic car that just is super polarizing to look at. I mean, of all the cars that we've had on our test fleet, everybody loves the iX. Fabulous interior, totally reliable, which is obviously something you can't say about most EVs, and great to drive. Expensive, yeah, but also just, challenging aesthetics.
Yeah.
But otherwise, great, great, great car. Cadillac have
Yeah, so
the
moving on to
electric version
Cadillac.
Escalade. Escalade is their big news. Huge, huge, basically.
I mean, the
Massive.
Escalade is gonna have to share some development with the Hummer EV, right? Because the Hummer EV, they were never gonna make enough to justify the cost of developing that thing. Unless they were going to share that platform with something like an Escalade or a Silverado or something, right?
The Hummer is a ridiculous vehicle on so many levels, like spectacularly inefficient, everything. And the Caddy, yeah, the Caddy is basically going to be, a version of the Hummer, but be a massive Kardashian carrier, basically. Be well over 100 grand.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. It'd be interesting. It's a niche product. Expect to see a lot of them in West Hollywood.
It's an interesting thing that you go, hey, let's go with the expensive Hummer and get that out there and almost kind of use it as the test case for the Escalade. There's not a lot of them out there, but they can look at how is the technology working, how is the battery working, what sort of recalls are on that car or issues that the dealers are reporting before they go mainstream with an Escalade. It's sort of a way of sort of disguising the Escalade as something bespoke, if you will, and then go and we can work the bugs out, as opposed to so many of the new EV manufacturers having to launch with their vehicle and that's it. That's the only feedback they get. Fisker, Lucid, Rivian, like that's it. There's not a lot of I not a lot of a chance to fix mistakes, by not like what Cadillac can do with Escalade. And then there the other the electric EV that they have, which nobody's really talking about now. We've already,
The Lyriq, well, I think they've got
yeah.
the same problems. Of course, it's Blazer EV platform. They're still having a lot of trouble. They need to sort all that out and sort it all out fast. So, there's still the stop start on the Blazer EV. So, it's a tough time for GM. And you may have seen they've just made a big executive hire to a battery specialist to come in presumably try and sort a lot of this out. It's tough, right? The EV market is under a lot of pressure. It's not growing at the rate that people hoped and predicted. The vehicles are too expensive. The infrastructure's not there. All the stuff that we've talked about on the show
Yeah.
a great deal. But if you add on, challenges of reliability onto that, then you're in a really tough spot. So, it's Yeah, it's a big year for GM. They've got to sort this out. And Equinox, and we were talking about Caddy, like going on a Chevy. Equinox EV, that was supposed to be the one starting at, 30K. Well, it's coming, the early ones are going to be over 40. Then you've potentially got a tax credit depending on your situation. So it's going to be more affordable. It's still not going to be cheap by any description. But if that finally comes on stream at any sort of volume, then at least it sits below the Blazer. And then Silverado EV, like, we're still not seeing that.
Yeah, that's delayed
Excuse
as
me,
well.
everybody. Yeah, that's delayed as well. And Ford struggling to shift F-150 Lightnings. Yeah, it's a really kind of interesting point of the market, because all when you go down this list, it's EV, 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 and yet that market's struggling at the moment. So that's where all the money's going, but at the same time, you've got to sell vehicles. So there's a little, if we're seeing in the industry, there's a little bit of a kind of pivot going on, and making sure that we haven't forgotten some of the gas-powered alternatives. Because I go down my list, and like all the headline stuff is an EV.
Yeah, it's but like we were saying with Audi and the designer there, it's like all of these EVs are coming to market now as things are starting to level out. I don't want to say it's dropping, it's just sort of leveling out the demand for EV. But these are all things that have been in develop for years, right? So
Yeah.
now they're just
I mean minimum 3 years. Yeah.
yeah. So you can't expect all of these companies to change their story right away because there's nothing to change. This is a story that's been 3 4 years in the making. So there's not much they can do. They're going to have to roll out a bunch of EVs and then figure out what they're going to do after that. And yeah, in cases like the F-150, like the one behind me, I got one that's an early model, which I haven't had a problem with. And then prices were up, and then prices were down, and everybody got clobbered on valuation because now there's these things are seem to be going for anywhere between $15,000 and $20,000 less than what people were paying for them, depending on the model and the trim. So I don't know. We'll see how things start to level out in the EV world.
What's the financial advice, or is it a long hold? It's a
Yeah.
long hold.
It's
But
I don't know
don't hang
because
on
I don't
to
know the longevity of these things as well.
don't hang on to it too long. It's a
Yeah,
long hold, but not too long, because the
not too
battery
long
will degrade over time.
over time for sure. And then I don't know if that's better or worse if you put miles on it. Is a Lightning in 5 years from now with 50,000 miles going to be better than a Lightning with 110,000 miles?
I don't think it's going to be better, but I don't think it's going to be as different as you might think. I think the
Yeah.
challenge is more that it's 5 years old than the fact that it's got tons of miles. That seems to be the intel at the moment. I'm sounding like a real cynic, and like I don't like EVs. Actually, I think they're great products. I just think it's a challenging time right now.
Yes, because what we're
For
talking
all
about
sorts of reasons.
is the automotive industry as a whole with this focus on EVs, and what does this mean for the future of these cars? You're right. I still drive my truck. I enjoy driving my truck. It's quiet. It's fast. I drive it around town. I haven't had a problem with it yet, so we'll see what happens from there. Moving on to Fisker. So Fisker, you've talked about quite a bit in the past, and we've seen their big press announcement a few months ago about all these new cars that they're going to be coming out with, and a supercar and a pickup truck and all this crazy stuff. It all seems interesting to me, but they obviously have to work out the bugs on the Fisker Ocean before they can commit to making all of these other new cars. It just to me kind of felt like Lotus of the past, decade or so. Lotus kept announcing all of these new cars, and then something would happen, or some other company would buy them, or they'd ship change something. It's just like they've changed their story so many times. Lotus has probably more concept cars and vaporware announcements of vehicles than anybody out there, it seems like.
Tesla got close for a while, but yeah, I mean, I just spent a few days in our Ocean, and there's a lot of people in this office. If you read our long-term test blog on it, if you just Google Edmunds long-term Fisker, it'll take you there. I actually like the fundamentals of the vehicle. The fundamental hardware is well built. It's built by Mercedes in Austria. We talked about this before. It's just that they've launched it too early with the software, and we're waiting probably this week for software 2.0, which will introduce things like not rolling backwards on a hill and should solve a lot of the bugs, and the key should work better. And just and when I say the key, I mean like blipping it to open the doors. There's just a whole bunch of stuff they basically either hadn't perfected or hadn't done yet when it was launched. And I just worry because sometimes, you don't get a chance unless you're like a Cybertruck where it's just, a bunch of diehard fans are going to buy it anyway. If you're a brand like Fisker and you haven't got that halo effect, you need to get it. You need to get a great product in the market and a good reputation going. And I really hope that this software update they're about to do is a big leap forwards because I like the underlying product. But, if I'd bought it, if we hadn't bought it as a test vehicle, if we bought it, you'd be thinking, I could have bought a Model Y for a bit less money. I could have bought a Genesis. I could have bought lots of things.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge right now. They haven't Tesla had a few years to sort out all the problems before everybody started getting into the market. Fisker, Rivian, they don't have that luxury. Lucid.
Yeah, I
So,
think Fisker is just released too early. They should have just done more with it. They made these promises on release dates and price points, and they didn't want to kind of fall victim to, to what Tesla had done and just delay after delay after delay. They announce a car for next year and it's 3 years later and you get it. They just don't want to be that again.
Well,
So,
also, you need the cash. You need the cash. I mean, you've got all this investment piling up. You're losing money hand over fist, as every startup does. And it's like, well, we got to sell some cars. We've got to get some cash flowing in. Yet another Wall Street announcement where you haven't got any revenue. So it's like it's this. I mean, it's not just EVs. We've seen it with McLaren in the past. We've seen it with Maserati in the past. 3200 GT was launched way before it was really ready because they had to get some cash. So we will see. I mean, they've got stuff coming out, the pair, the truck, there's a few bits and there's a few other vehicles. Let's fix the ocean first and go from there. But I hope they make it. I've a lot of time for them. I think they're great, great bunch of people. And
A year or so ago, it was kind of my pick as the EV company with the most potential. I thought they had the kind of the right idea of outsourcing the production, and Henrik Fisker, he's more of a designer and a marketer. I thought he's, having interviewed him a few times, he seems like an intelligent, kind of charming fellow, and it seemed like the recipe could be there. And I was expecting something a little bit better from them, but maybe can get worked out.
yeah, let's hope they sold it. If they sold the software, they'll be off and running.
So moving on to Ford, this is not a pure EV story.
No, I mean big things to Ford this year. F-150 refresh, which is a heavy facelift of the F-150. The Super Duty is relatively new as well. Drove one of those for the first time last week with the big diesel engine. That's a great vehicle. Huge, but a great vehicle. And then Ranger as well. So, a lot of Ford's focus is on trucks. Ranger's been delayed, still not here, but we're driving it imminently. And then, so it's kind of trucks, and obviously Mustang's relatively fresh as well. That's the big news from Ford.
Yes, Ranger, I went to like their launch event in Detroit, which was interesting, but now I'm starting to think about, gosh, when did I go to that thing? Was that like October or September?
Yeah, well, we're driving it, we're driving it pretty shortly. But yeah, you think about it, like Colorado came out, Tacoma came out, and then Ranger's been further down the pipeline. So it's
Do we
given
know what
Chevy,
the
it's definitely,
delays are?
I think it's a bunch of stuff. I wouldn't kind of pinpoint it, but yeah, at the end of the day, you've given Chevy and Toyota a decent head start in the consciousness. So.
And
And as we know, like they're both really good trucks. Tacoma's a good truck. Colorado's a fantastic piece of kit. So, yeah,
and then
tough job for Ford.
Ranger Raptor, which will be sort of their flagship Ranger, so I guess you can't really have that without the base Ranger out first. But I'm sure
And it's
they're
always been weird that they've
working on
never
it.
really. I mean, the Maverick's a nice little thing, but they've never really that sort of. That mid-sized truck market for when you think of the success of the F-150. You would think it would translate for Ford in a way that, so far it hasn't really.
We brought this up in the past, just how sort of the size and scope of all these vehicles have changed. I mean, I've got this 22 Ford Lightning behind me, which is a monster of a truck. and I have a 95 Ford Lightning, and that's about the size of a Ranger. You know, that's what an F-150 was back in the day. I mean, I get it, it's standard cab, but it almost looks like I can put the old truck in the bed of the new truck. I mean, the new truck is just so much bigger all around. And certainly around town, when it just comes to parking one truck versus the other, I realize I took the 95 Lightning out and I was like, oh, this is a small truck. This is what a Ranger is now. And it is kind of easy to park. It's a good LA size vehicle. And then you get in the big truck and you realize it, you know, it's like you were saying, it's kind of like the big Escalade.
Yeah, and then the Maverick exists because that was kind of what Tacoma was 15
Yeah.
years ago.
Yeah. Back in the day, Tacoma was small too. Moving on to Honda, we talked about Honda Prologue, which I guess they're pushing that forward maybe before the Acura even. They were certainly running commercials for it. I think they ran their
Yeah,
Super
but
Bowl commercial for it.
Prologue again is supposed to be a big deal for Honda. It'd be interesting to see how it shakes out because they've now cancelled this GM deal as well, and they're going to be focused on, you know, doing their own thing. And we saw at the CES show in January some really exciting designs coming from Honda. So again, you know, they've been slow into the market. It's funny, like I think we were talking last year, oh, where's Honda, where's Toyota, everybody else ahead of the game, and now they just look like they've, you know, they it looks like much better strategy than we thought at the time. Hybrid, hybrid, hybrid for Toyota. You know, Honda's getting in with the Prologue, but it's a bit of a toe in the water. So again, you know, obviously lots of problems with the Blazer EV, so let's see how that shakes out.
But an interesting move, you're right, for Honda to go, we get what's going on with people in EVs, with other car companies in EVs, and they're saying, but let's partner with somebody like GM. Let's, as you said, dip our toe in the water with Honda Prologue and Acura ZDX, see if our customers are liking this, see if it makes sense for them as a company, and then do their customers accept it, and then for them to go, well, we will develop our own platform. I mean, I guess Ford kind of touched on this when Ford was talking to Rivian and companies about partnering on an EV platform, and then they ended up doing their own thing. But there was a minute there where they're saying, should we share the cost and R&D with somebody else?
Yeah, it sort of makes sense. It's sort of, I mean, it's nothing inherently new in that. You've seen it across the Volkswagen Group and others where you share, you know, share technologies, but admittedly normally within one company rather than on the GM. But yeah, they seem like an act of desperation to a certain extent, but you know, maybe they will be proved right all along. We'll see.
Moving on to Hyundai, actually Hyundai, Kia, and probably Genesis can all sort of fall into this group. And they seem to be embracing EV quite a bit more than other
Yeah, I was
companies.
talking to some of their execs recently, and they've just made the decision that we're just going to plow on. But they are hedging their bets. They've got a great lineup of hybrids, gas cars. You know, all the companies are doing well. So I think, to their general perception is, let's just get ahead of the game. Eventually, the market will come to us. And you know, if you go back to 2008 when the recession hit, they did a really good job of sort of standing tall and saying, we're going to be confident, we're going to come out of this. And when we come out of this, we'll have absorbed more market share. And they did a great job of that. And it feels a little bit the same again. It's like, okay, we're going to hedge our bets. I mean, Hyundai's got the Santa Fe, which looks a little bit like a Land Rover,
Yeah.
but it's a really cool looking thing. So that's gas. So, you know, that's a good three-row vehicle, which will appeal to, you know, traditional family audiences. And then at the same time, we're going to do an Ioniq 5N, which is a kind of like nutty EV with 641 horsepower, and all sorts of, you know, fancy simulated engine noises and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah,
I
they're
think
doing.
the Ioniq 5N is a great move for them because it's a performance halo car that will grab all of the headlines because it'll just be silly and fun, and I'm sure it'll be a blast to drive, and everyone will talk about it, and it's just gonna bring attention to the Hyundai brand, and they'll probably move a bunch of regular Ioniq 5s just because of the N, and you're
Yeah,
right,
they
the Santa
probably it's going to
Fe
be.
is going to be successful, I think, for them as well.
Yeah, they're not going to sell. Yeah, they're not going to sell that many, but we can't wait for it. That's one of the cars this year when I look at that I'm probably most excited about, because I think it looks really cool. It's got 641 horsepower, and it will just be insanely rapid. And I think if they tuned it right, it's going to be an absolute hoot. So, I mean, it's kind of mad that you could say, here's a little, I mean, they call them an SUV. It's basically a family hatchback, isn't it? Oh, and now it's got 641 horsepower. And it's a, you know, it's what, 70 grand, 60, 70 grand. It's a load of money, but
It
it's
is.
still.
I saw it at the LA Auto Show and I walked around and was like, this is the thing here that I want to drive the most.
Yeah, I was exactly the same. It's got 200 horsepower more than a Ferrari F40. And I know that was like the kid, that was the car I wanted, you know, when I was a kid, that was like the dream car. And I know that's a long time ago now, but it was, you know, you can imagine the, you know, that's got 200 horsepower more. Crazy, but exciting. And again, like Hyundai is doing a fantastic job at the moment. They really feel like, you know, everything that comes out is good from both Hyundai and Kia and Genesis.
Yeah, and just moving on to Jeep, because the recent announcement is Jeep's EV, right?
Wagoneer,
The
yeah.
Wagoneer. Yeah, which
Yeah, I
seems
mean,
interesting
they.
and expensive. So Jeep hasn't, I don't know, Jeep's been trying to push that Wagoneer really kind of upscale, and I don't know it's really connected with audience. Like, it's an expensive vehicle.
Yeah, I mean, we've actually just done, we've just done a comparison test. If you look at our YouTube channel, just went live this week with the Wagoneer, and the Wagoneer comes out of it really well.
Okay.
It's a good, but again, but as you say, it's an expensive vehicle. So that was Wagoneer versus Tahoe, which is getting a bit old, versus Expedition. And we just wanted to look at, like, you know, which is the best full size three row, and you know, comes out of it really well.
And the Wagoneer is just not something we see a lot of out here. I just think in its hometown, I think in Detroit, it's probably a ton of them on the road, but they just didn't really connect with the audience out here in California for some reason.
It's big, and it's 100. I know it's hard to justify. So, you know, I find it hard. Like, it's getting on for 100 grand. Feels like a load of money. It's not the prettiest thing either, particularly when you go for like the L version with the huge overhangs.
Just funny because if you talk to their designers, they love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They paid a lot of
Okay.
money to live it there.
Lucid. Lucid, interesting,
Yeah,
right?
Kia, we had the EV9, and we think we're pretty okay. But then Lucid EV9, we talked about so much on this show. Lucid has got the Gravity, which is basically a, well, I was going to say it's basically a jacked up version of the Air sedan, but it's not actually. We were quite surprised. It's got quite a fundamentally different chassis, which is odd because you'd think that's a really expensive route to go down. But it's more of a, if you talked about the Wagoneer, it's more like that. It's less of a full on, although it has some off road ability, it's more of kind of like a big, if you had sliding doors, you'd call it a minivan.
Yeah, it has kind of that profile to it. The
Yeah.
Gravity, I think, is going to be the most important car in Lucid's history, even for years to come. They came out with the sedan. It had a lot of issues. They're trying to fix as many as they can, but kind of the same story with the Hummer and the Escalade, right? Is that GM had a Hummer to test with so the Escalade can be good. Lucid only had one vehicle and they tested with it and it wasn't really a home run. Gravity has to be better. And to hear you say it's kind of a new platform for them might be a good thing because there might be so many flaws, they're just sort of unfixable on the sedan. You know, there's only
Well, the
so much you
sedan
can
is a
do.
great, the sedan, we got so much hassle for saying, you know, but the sedan's a great vehicle. But again, a bit like the Fisker, software wasn't ready, and it had a whole bunch of, unlike the Fisker, it had a whole bunch of build quality issues. But then the Gravity, you know, the Gravity probably is the vehicle they should have launched with, because it's, you know, people want SUVs now. I think this, everybody, they like the sedan because sedan gives you better range figures. It's faster. You know, you get more of those sort of like Instagram headlines. But the Gravity should be their seller. And, you know, it's not going to be cheap. But when you look at things like the Rivian R1S, which is selling very well, there's a big opportunity for them for sure. And they need it because
Yeah,
they're not selling too many airs.
I don't think it was such a bad move to not launch with the Gravity. I think that would have been the more sales, more success. But if the Gravity had the same build quality issues as the sedan, I think it would hurt the company more because they were going to sell fewer of the sedans. I think launching the sedan, getting the headlines, seeing the YouTube videos of that thing drag racing, running, I don't know, nines or whatever it runs in the quarter mile, the Lucid Air like Sapphire up at Monterey and having blasting that thing around the track is interesting. But the Gravity has to be the one that works. It has to be the
Yeah.
one that is quality wise is, I'd like to say a home run for them. I don't know that anybody's building an SUV that's a home run quite yet. Maybe, BMW is getting it right, like you were saying. But the Gravity has to be that car. Now,
On paper, it looks great.
yeah.
And I've sat in it, played around with it. I think it's going to be a good vehicle. And look, when at Edmunds, we've never been anti-Lucid. We're just kind of calling it as it is. And yeah, well, I've got hopes for Gravity. It's still, though, it's going to be expensive, right?
It's going to be
Start
expensive.
at 80, you're going to be spending 100 grand.
And we'll see how
And
it
that's
goes.
the
I saw it at the LA Auto Show and they had it like opened up and people were looking at it and they were giving tours about it, the whole thing. So I just walked up and went to open the back door and someone like, it was like an action movie. It's like somebody in slow motion dove out me. No. And they're like, it's a hand-built prototype. You can't touch it. I was like, well, everyone's standing around it, opening doors and
yeah.
shit. I was like, maybe put a sign up says hand-built prototype. Don't touch it. Like, by the way, all the other cars have the sign. We're like, pre-production, don't open. Don't try to open the
Yeah.
door. You can't. This vehicle's locked or whatever. They weren't doing that. So some guy dove at me and was like, all right. I would have laughed if that door fell right off onto the floor. Whoops. Well, if the one they brought to the auto show is the one that you're gonna buy, then use caution is all I can say. Mercedes, I drove a few of the Mercedes EVs. That's kind of what the company was pushing toward me. It was like, try our EV, try our EV. It seemed fine. They were not particularly pretty, in my opinion. I don't know if they're changing their story as to what they're going to do with EVs, but for me, a
Yeah, well, they've gone
Mercedes.
down a different route to BMW in that they, instead of just building an E-Class and then building a electric version, they've got the EQE as a different vehicle. So they're trying a different route. This year, the main thing actually is more actually gas this year. So they'll have the new E-Class, which again, like the 5 Series, isn't the kind of force that maybe it once was back in the day, because everybody buys an SUV, but it's going to be an interesting car. They're going to have an all-terrain wagon. A bit like the Audi Allroad, and then the CLE. So instead of having a C-Class coupe and an E-Class coupe, you're just going to have a CLE, which is really pretty to look at. And
It is
that'll be a
nice.
coupe and a convertible. And yeah, it looks very pretty. And obviously the SL is pretty new for them.
I was going to say the last gas engine one I drove, I think, was the SL, and that was a nice car.
Yeah, that is a nice car. And then there's also the GT. The AMG, the new AMG GT, which is really pretty. That's the 911 rival. That's yeah, that's we've already driven that out in Spain. I don't think it's hit these shores yet.
And
Wow, we're
then
going on a bit, Matt. We're only up to M.
I think the second half is going to go a little quicker, but Mini, what's going on with Mini?
So new, basically almost like a new range, new Cooper, new Cooper S, not just EVs, gas as well, Countryman. I think it's still under embargo as we speak. We've just been out and driven the Countryman, and they're a bit less mini than they used to be. So the Countryman's actually a pretty big vehicle. And this has always been the problem. It's like, oh, how do we expand the range? Well, we still need to be small relative to everybody else. And then probably they do a customer clinic and everybody says, oh, it's too small. So
And then we got
I've never.
BMW X2, which is kind of like BMW's version of a Mini. I'm sure they're sharing a lot of parts
Yeah,
and stuff. It's the
an
same platform
X1.
or something. So now we've got that's where those two brands start to cross over each other.
Exactly. So, the Cooper and the Cooper is still going to feel like a Mini, and then the Countryman will be a another SUV. I mean, I remember driving it when the Mini was first brought back, and it just been driving one around London and just feeling like an absolute rock star. People were so excited about it. And now, you know what, 20 years on, it's just a bit like, you know, it's there's nothing really innovative. There's nothing really that's moved the game on. I mean, if you own one, and you know, there is still a great fun little car, but it's only going to be a niche audience over here.
Nissan, I think Nissan had most of their stuff happen last year, right? We got the new truck, we got the
Yeah.
new Z.
Rogue's had a little, you know, Nismo Z we've seen. Rogue's had a little cosmetic overhaul, you know, huge seller for them, but pretty decent product.
And maybe we'll get something in the next year or two, some kind of announcement on a new flagship car like a GTR, probably some sort of EV or hybrid version like Acura did with the NSX. I'm not really quite sure what the plan is going to be for GTR, but it gets a lot of attention to the brand and they kind of need that right now.
Well, it's a Polestar.
Polestar.
Big thing, Polestar 3, we've just seen it. This is the one without the rear window. So you have a camera instead of a rear window. Again, looks like a nice thing. I like the Polestar 2, even if it's quite small. But just a ton of money, like 85 grand. And then they're going to do the Polestar 4, which should be cheaper, but still 60 grand. I mean, Polestar 3 looks nice, but again, another 85 grand EV, and it's like, what, you know, your market's small.
Is that the three row SUV that they're doing?
I should know, and I can't remember off the top of my head. I don't think so.
Because they're starting to promote. Polestar is starting to promote with their on they're starting to do their commercials and starting to do their advertising and stuff for the new vehicle. So I don't it's not the yeah the
No, it's
three.
not a three. It's not a, the Polestar 3 isn't a, the 4 isn't a three row, but it's, yeah. I mean, it's like everything else. It's going to be super. It's pretty. It's got a ton of, you know, it's got a ton of horsepower, but you know, big money again.
Yeah, but the Polestar
I'm
3,
just
the
not.
SUV, you're right. It's 80,
It,
it's going to be almost 85 grand to start.
I'm getting a bit bored of it. I mean, I don't mind. I'm still interested in it. I just mean it's like, how many people can launch? No, the Lucid is going to be 85 grand plus. The Polestar is going to be 85 grand plus. The iX we're talking about 80 grand. The EQE 80 grand. The Porsche are about to move on for P for Porsche. You know, Macan EV looks tremendous. Starts at 80 grand. We just ordered one and we had to try to get it under 100 grand. That's like, I said to the team, there's no way we're paying over 100 grand for this thing. We're not paying over 100 grand for Macan EV. And it was like, but we need this, and we need like the sports chrono, and we need, you know, four wheel steering, because Porsche says that's really important in terms of like, you know, the overall package of the car, check the residuals. And in the end, it was like, well, what have we got? What's this? Is passenger screen, right? Lose the passenger screen, which was like 3 grand. It's like, all right, 99, 850 or something. But they're all just, yeah, it's just, I mean, Jim Farley, Ford's CEO, came out this morning, big like waltz, you know, their quarterly announcements, and you know, openly saying we've got to crack this, we've got to get cheaper, because it's just, you know, this expensive stuff isn't selling.
And no, and for a
I
brand
mean,
like Ford, you can't do it.
you can't like have your entire EV range starting at 50, 60, you know, 50, 60 grand. It's a ton of money. But then we had a Civic Si in the office last week. It was down, and we're doing a feature on cheaper, fun, cheaper cars. And I was like, oh, a Civic Si, that's like 25 grand. So he said, no, it's not 25 grand anymore. It's now 31. You know, everything,
Everything's expensive. Everything's
everything's
expensive.
expensive.
And if you're
World's
doing
gone mad.
anything EV, it's going to be expensive. And I don't
It
know if
is.
anybody's even making money off of EVs yet, but
Yeah, Tesla.
I guess Tesla is, yeah. But Tesla keeps making money on all this other crap that they're doing on the side, selling EV credits,
Yeah.
selling, the whatever, the clean air credits to other companies. That's a multi-billion dollar business, it seems, for them.
That's propped up their business more than people realize, for sure. What else is Porsche doing? Porsche is doing a refresh Cayenne. We kind of seen that, updated Panamera. Both of those, I'm sure, you know, look nice. What else are we seeing? Well, we should see this year, and there's a lot of cars running around various test tracks of the world, and updated 911. 992.2.
Yeah, potentially a big year for Porsche. A lot of
Yeah,
announcements.
if you look, I was talking the other day that almost everything in their range is having some form, will have some form of update this year. Probably not the Boxster and the Cayman, but even then we'll be getting the Spider. But Macan EV is here.
Yeah.
Taycan's having update. That's all announced. Cayenne, Panamera. It's no secret that the 992 is having, some sort of update. There's tons of spy pictures everywhere, or undisguised spy pictures now. So, yeah, big year, really big year for Porsche. So, exciting times for them.
Moving on to Ram, we've got the Ram Charger.
So that's end of the year. The Ram
Yeah.
Charger is
And then
the
the V.
yeah. So the Ram Charger is the one which has a V6 engine to act as a generator,
Right.
which I think is super interesting because that kind of breaks through the range anxiety bit. So
It does. It's a big generator, though.
it's a big generator. So basically what you've got is an electric truck, a bit like the old Chevy Volt was. You've got an electric truck with a three with a what is it, 3.5 liter V6 under the hood,
Yeah, three,
where the front
three
should
point
be.
six.
And so yeah. But as a truck for towing, makes a lot of, I think it's a really interesting maneuver, makes a lot of sense. And then there's also the Ram 1500 REV, which is the fully electric truck, and they're claiming 500 miles of range and all sorts of things. But again, depends where you are and depends whether you're towing and stuff. So yeah, I think it's a really smart strategy. They just hedge their bets a little bit.
Yeah, I think the Ram Charger is going to be the interesting vehicle in their sense. I mean, look,
Yeah.
Ford has their hybrid truck. It's a little bit different configuration than this because that has a gas engine that can power the wheels along with the electric motors, but they do have the hybrid, and this is sort of Ram's take on the hybrid, but instead it's going to be the onboard generator that powers the electric vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah, so you'll have a smaller battery pack, which
Yeah.
in theory would make it cheaper. So, for something like you, might 145 miles of range. Drive it around LA, fill it in at, charge it at the warehouse. Great, you'll never touch the engine. And then, BMW did this with the i3 a few years ago. So I think it's going to be a good thing. There, heard it
Moving
here
on to
first.
Subaru. Subaru has
Yeah,
some,
Forester's updated.
yeah.
Crosstrek's had an update. Subaru will just continue to be Subaru, whether they'll just kind of go. They know their audience.
Yeah.
The audience loves them.
They do. I saw another Subaru commercial the other day, and I didn't think there was any cars in that commercial at all. They had, I don't know, some charity thing or cleaning beaches or giving puppies away or whatever they're
Was
selling.
everybody wearing Patagonia as well? That seems to be like a given.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I get Subaru's brand. It's interesting and it works for them, but Subaru sells love, not vehicles.
Yeah, it's cozy. Although
Tesla.
I drove the WRX the other day. It was the first time I've driven on a long time with a stick. Still fun. I drove it on a test track. I was like,
Yeah,
this is, I
that's
think it's
fun.
like, it starts at just over 35 grand. And I thought, this is a fun way to travel. It's great little manual gearbox, still sounds good, just enough power. Yeah, it's a
Yeah.
cool thing.
Tesla.
Tesla, obviously Model 3 Highland. But this is kind of weird in that this Model 3 is not going to get the tax credit if you buy it, but it would if you lease it, of course. So if they're not careful, it's going to end up being more expensive than a Model Y. So it's all a bit all over the place, but this is the refreshed 3.
Yeah.
The Y will follow, but probably not until next year. So if you want like a new, heavily facelifted, if you like Tesla, then the 3 Highlands here. We're actually buying one. Edmunds is buying one, where it should be arriving the next month or so. And then, of course, and then Cybertruck production
Cybertruck,
is starting
which
to ramp up. But
you
then
guys are gonna do something with at some point, right? Because
we are
everybody's
gonna
got
get our paws on it,
yeah.
and do some stuff with it. So we're still we are it's no secret that we sort of had one on order, but God knows when it'll turn up.
Yeah. Toyota, we talked about a little bit. Toyota, still sticking with hybrid and not really leaning into EV all that much, but I don't know what's new with them. Camry? Well, we talked about Tacoma about a week or so ago,
Camry,
so we
yeah.
know what's happening with Tacoma. And you guys like Colorado better than Tacoma, but Camry.
Camry had a look at the LA Auto Show last November. Hybrid only. It's a Camry, right? It's big, it's spacious, it's good value. It'll be a perfectly fine means of transport. And I still like a
Sound
big
excited.
sedan.
It couldn't be any more
Yeah, I mean, they
excited
know exactly their
about
audience,
that
and the
Camry,
sales aren't what they were, but they're still selling, last time I looked, like well over 200,000 a year. And to pe people love them, and rightly so. Reliable, pretty cheap to run, good value to buy, really spacious, comfortable, and the interior looks way better than the old one. Tacoma, we mentioned, that's coming on stream now, starting to see
But
them on
then
the
Land
road.
Cruiser, right? Land Cruiser is the only thing we're really looking forward to.
Land Cruiser, yeah, it looks super exciting, and then the Lexus GX as well that goes with it. Yeah, Land Cruiser, it's really interesting because they brought it down in price, so it's now starts in the 50s, and it's much more of a light, looks more of a lifestyle vehicle than the old Land Cruiser, which was almost like getting into kind of, upper Defender, almost in a Range Rover territory. So now they've got these things. So we're going to see 4Runner as well this year. So there's going to be natural crossover between the new 4Runner and the other vehicle. So it's how do you in the Land Cruiser? How are you going to put the how are those two going to sit together? Because there's definitely going to be price overlap. So Land Cruiser is the more the sort of standalone. Then 4Runner will be based on the Tacoma platform.
Right. Yeah, I think
And then they've got Grand Highlander, which is more of an SUV. So it's they've really peppering the market. If you've got 50 grand to spend on an SUV, like Toyota's can sell you one of several. And that's before you include Lexus.
yeah. Okay, so VW. We saw they were one of the few car companies that also had a Super Bowl commercial, and they
We
displayed
might
this.
finally see the ID Buzz,
Yeah.
finally. I mean, it's been on sale in Europe since forever.
We saw it in a commercial.
The decision not to bring the two-row version of that vehicle, I've never understand it. I think what they did was say, because they're only going to get the three-row in the US, which is huge. But like, if you live where you and I do, Martin, Venice and Manhattan Beach in LA, I think you'd just sell a ton of them. We'd have bought one as a family, and we wouldn't have bought it because it's a minivan. We'd have bought it because it looks really cool. It's an EV, and there's tons of room for the kids.
Is
Whereas we definitely won't buy a three-row because it's just too big, and we don't need a three-row. So I don't know. I just think from like a product planning perspective, it's a really weird decision. And also, this thing's been talked about for years. So it's a bit like the Corvette E-Ray, which we didn't talk about. It's like, is that thing on sale yet? It's like, are we?
yeah, it's lost its conversation, I think.
Yeah.
The E-Ray was an interesting conversation, but it just kind of phased out, just kind of fiddled away a little bit, I think, on the array. And I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful car to drive, and it's going to be fast, and it's going to be cool. I don't know. The ID Buzz, it seems interesting to me. It seems just a little gimmicky. I think it's going to age out pretty quickly, and I think it'll be really interesting to see a few, especially if people are buying them in the bright colors and making them kind of fun looking. And you're right, around the beach area, maybe you'll see them. I don't know. I just don't really see this to be a huge success. And I hope I'm wrong, because I don't want to, I hope it's cool and people like it and people buy it. And you're right. Around Venice Beach, Manhattan Beach, Redondo, I think,
Florida.
yeah, I think it makes sense there, and you'll get it. But I'm just thinking, like, is my brother or something, like in Arizona, my little brother in Arizona, is he gonna buy this? No.
I think it also depends how, not the aftermarket, but where they go with this, because the exterior is quite cool. The interior is more conventional. But I do just to see whether people start tricking them out as surf wagons and things like that, because there's tons of stuff that you can do, particularly with it being an EV, because there's no, you've got a big interior, lots of flexibility. So, will we see like a ton with surfboards and everything else? It was such an opportunity. And, we'll see. We'll see. But it's only the three row, which is big and again, expensive. So,
Yeah, that's the other
what are
thing
we
is
left with? It's a load of money.
I think we're just kind of left with Volvo.
Volvo EX30. If you go to our YouTube channel, I had a drive of that in Spain last year. Really like the X30. It's a really sweet little car. It is a cheaper EV. Still in the 30s, it's
Yeah.
small. And a lot of Amer I think a lot of people in this country are going to go, hey, I was going to do an American accent. I'm not even going to try. A lot of people are going to spend like, are going to say, why am I spending 30 odd grand for something that small? I think if you can get past that, it's a really nice little car. Really nice little car.
Well, everything's expensive, and Volvo has pretty good design and overall just a pretty nice car. So they might be cornering the market with a $30,000 small, EV in this regard.
I think there's like if there's a good lease deal on that with all the tax credits and stuff, or you get, I think that's going to be,
Yeah.
yeah, that's going to be a sweet little car. I was really impressed with it. We drove it in Barcelona. I hope it translates over here. And it's small on the outside, but actually because it's an EV, the interior is better than you would think. And then at the other extreme, they've got the EX90, which again has been delayed over software issues. Where have we heard that before? But that's a big three-row EV kind of
Yeah.
EX90, XC90, but as an EV.
As an EV. And
Again,
it's sharp looking
how much do
too.
you think it's going to be, Matt? How much do you think it'll start at?
Oh, maybe about
Do
$85,000.
you think about 85 grand? Do you think it's going to
Yeah.
like be like close to 100 grand?
I think
It's
it'll
really
start
funny
at
going through this
85.
list. I remember like doing the film that we did. It's on our again on our YouTube channel about all this stuff, and it's like, yeah, when you start to talk about it, if you've got 90, 100 grand to spend on an EV right now is actually quite a good choice. If you've got
There is.
30 to 40 grand, not so much.
Well, when we talked about the EV9, and when you guys did your video, you're like, oh, this is kind of expensive. But from Kia's standpoint, they're going, hey, good news is, we're $10,000 to $15,000 cheaper than everybody else's, three
Yeah.
row
Well, at least,
SUV
yeah.
is going to be out there,
Yeah.
right? Because they're all going to, they're gonna, whatever, in the 50s up to the 70s for that thing, as opposed to starting at 85 grand. So,
Yeah.
For them, they're going, and it's nice, right? You guys drove it. We saw the video on it. You guys drove it. You tested it. You
It's
like it.
a great it's a great great vehicle. I think Edmunds top rated best of the best for
Yeah.
2024.
All right, we're gonna wrap up this list. I'm sure there's more things on there that we're forgetting, and certainly as we get into, the exotic car market and things like that, there's maybe that's a different list for another day. But this is sort of the more realistic list of cars that are going to be coming out hopefully within the next year, but who knows with delays and other things that are happening. I'm sure there's a conversation we can get into that's more fun to see what Koenigsegg and Lotus and Ferrari are doing, but that's
Maybe we'll do the
yeah,
alternative list.
that's
Yeah.
sort of the wish list.
We can stop lamenting the 100 grand EV
Yeah, go
and start
forget
talking
it.
about the $3.5 million. Oh, we
Yeah,
missed the Aston. Yeah, there's a new Aston this week. Check
there
that
is a
out.
new Aston.
Edmunds.com/news. A newish Aston. But yeah.
Which is cool looking, by the way. Just
Do you think
finally,
it's got like a big gaping mouth again? It's
it
like the old
it
Vantage.
still has the big mouth on it, but the profile, the rear fenders, it's got a cool aggressive look to it. The big like guppy mouth is kind of interesting. And they made it
Yeah.
larger. Is the previous version, the one that's out now, they have the optional front piece. I think it's on the Vantage, maybe that's on
Yeah, but
the
that's not
Pro.
Aston's own. That was like an aftermarket. If the aftermarket says here's a bolt on to improve the styling, there's a way. It's strange because I think that I like Marek Reichman a lot, who's the chief designer. The DB12 was a great looking car. And I think they probably this is like a heavy facelift, but the interior looks way better. So yeah, maybe we'll do an alternative take on this, the exotic, the list, the fantasy list.
Yeah.
It's nearly Christmas.
All right, we're gonna wrap things up. Appreciate it. Go to Edmunds.com and you can see pretty much everything that we've been talking about here over at Edmunds. And you guys know where to find us on social media. And if you want to see some of this stuff, we'll post the video up on YouTube as well. So jump on over to the CarCast channel. And yeah, we'll see you next week. Until then, keep the air, the spare, and the bag of the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.